hears on the 6th of the Articles of the Creed, which reads, He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. Jesus Christ, as we believe, arose from the dead and remained on earth in visible form for about 40 days. On the 40th day, as the scriptures tell us, he ascended into heaven. As described by St. Luke, Jesus had just finished telling his disciples they would receive the power of the Holy Spirit. It is impossible to exaggerate Christ's words to his apostles, as narrated by Luke in his opening of the Acts of the Apostles. Quote Luke, the disciple remember of St. Paul, when he, that Jesus, had said these things, while they looked on, he was raised up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they were beholding him going up to heaven, behold, two men stood by them in white garments. They said, You men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up to heaven? This Jesus, who is taken up from you into heaven, will come as you have seen him going up to heaven. In the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. Let's make sure we put ourselves into context. We know, of course, that heaven is not just a subjective state of mind. Heaven is an objective place. Christ's ascension, as we casually say, into heaven, was a historical event. Jesus did actually leave the earth and was physically seen to ascend into the heavens. However, the heavens, quotation marks, to which he went were not the corporeal heavens of sun, moon, and stars. When St. Paul says that he ascended above the heavens, as in Ephesians, Paul meant not only above the stellar regions, but even above all. He meant the spiritual heavens. We'll spend some time on this article of the Creed. Because, as faith tells us, God became man so that like us, he too would be conceived, would be born, would live, would die. And how we need to hear this. And then would rise from the dead up to his death. We can all identify with Jesus Christ. Well, then we begin to believe this Jesus, who, like the rest of us, died. He rose from the dead. Emphasis, he rose from the dead. And we believe we shall rise from the dead. But we also believe that like him, not only shall we rise from the dead, but like him we too will go to heaven. That is our one, and we change the verb. That should be the one and only ambition we have in life. How pathetically mesmerized we can be by what the world has to offer, the baubles and tinsel. What good is anything, comma, anything the world has to offer once we die? As we casually say, we will leave everything behind. And it's here, in this article of the Creed, that our whole purpose in life rests on our believing that what Christ experienced in his life, we too, please God, shall experience in our lives. All of us will die. All of us will decay. Every morning, as I say Mass at the university, either in the parish church, Jesu, or in the Jesuit community chapel. And for every day, there was a list called the Necrology of all the Jesuits and just the central provinces of Chicago, Detroit, Wisconsin, and Missouri. The names of those who died on a given day, and every day has quite a few names. Every day. And by now, many of those names are my confreres, men I was adorned with. And last thing that I expected, many are my former students, my former superiors, including some that cost me a great deal. They've gone to their reward. So I say a special prayer at Mass for that, quotes, superior. It is sobering how important we can be, pardon me, how important we think we are. Always, of course, in our own eyes, but in the eyes of others. Pooh, that's spelled P-O-O-H, pooh. Not long after they bury us, they forget us. To repeat, what a dream world we can be living in. Nothing else matters, nothing, except this sixth article of the Creed. Believing as we do that God became man in order that he might set the pattern that we are to follow, living and dying, and like him, rising from the dead, and dear Lord, like him, going to heaven. We believe, we go on. What I'm quoting, by the way, is I'm not plagiarizing. I'm quoting from what this sinner has himself published. Jesus, we believe, ascended even to the throne of God the Father. He is known in the language of the Apostles' Creed, seated at the right hand of the Heavenly Father. He is above all principalities and powers, above all virtues and dominations, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but in heaven. Jesus, amen. As St. Paul makes so much of in his letter to the Hebrews, God could have, but he did not. God did not become an angel. He became a man. The angels, as St. Ignatius reminds us, had one chance. They were on probation. Many failed. The fathers of the church, as I never tire repeating, tell us, as many angels fell, as there will be human beings from the dawn of human creation until the end of time. Let me tell you, our faith is very sobering. And Urs von Balthasar, to the contrary, notwithstanding, dare we hope, there's a whole book on the subject, that everyone will be saved. No, my dear Urs, no. Stop the nonsense. Von Balthasar was bewitched by Origen, early church, who was condemned as a heretic for claiming that everyone would reach heaven. Even as we speak, of Christ's ascension into heaven, let's make sure we also believe there is such a thing as descent into hell. The expression in the creed, right hand, is of course not to be taken, well, literally. It is, as the church tells us, the symbolic expression when we speak of God. Christ is God. He is said to be seated at the right hand of the Father because he is equal with the Father. He is a man. He is seated at the Father's right hand as being closest to God in the possession of the highest perfection possible for a creature to have. Jesus Christ, he is God. But the human nature that he assumed is, of course, a created nature. It is Christ at the right hand of his heavenly Father. Christ, the God-man. He is seated, as we say, at the Father's right hand because he is closest to God. And this is as man in the possession of the highest possible perfection that a created nature can have. That is what that's what he craved when he said, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars. I'll be like the Most High, quoting Isaiah. If ever we thought that was a figure of speech, as we reach the close of the 20th century in the United States, we realize, or we should realize, a whole nation in its highest executive and judiciary powers is claiming, determine what is right or wrong. And let this God mind his own divine business. There has never been in the history of our country a more organized, more highly financed, a more virulent attempt to not just discredit but destroy the Catholic Church than today. And even 20, 30 years after an alleged abuse by some priest or bishop. Why? As Time magazine features one priest after another in clerical garb, either handcuffed or standing trial for his crimes. Oh, you hypocrites! "You hypocrites, you liars." Anything to discredit the Catholic Church. We ask ourselves, why the Ascension? The Church tells us that Christ ascended into heaven because heaven was due to him according to his divine nature. After all, Jesus was God. It is natural for something to return to the place of its origin. Christ drew his origin from God, who is above all. No doubt, the saints are also in heaven, but they did not reach there as Christ did. He ascended by his own power, whereas the saints are taken to heaven by the power of Christ. What a difference between even the greatest saints who reached heaven and Jesus Christ, who is the one finally responsible for anyone reaching heaven. Moreover, heaven was due to Christ as the fruit of his victory. Jesus was sent by the Father into the world in order to overcome the devil, and he overcame the prince of this world. How we need to repeat what may seem to be a platitude. How many times our Lord spoke of the prince of this world, namely the devil. And as our faith tells us, Christ, with the graces that he won by his passion and death, has obtained for us the light we need and the strength we need first to recognize the evil spirit at work in the world, and then to resist the devil successfully. Because remember, the one we now call the devil, though we say he was driven out of heaven, strictly speaking, no one is driven out of heaven. The angels who fell, they did not really fall from heaven. They have the opportunity of proving their loyalty to God by their humble submission to his divine will. Now, this needs to be underlined. Nobody reaches heaven without being tested. Nobody, not even the angels of God, nobody. The angels, therefore, who were unfaithful, they sinned, and by sinning, they became devils. Over the centuries, whole councils of the Church had to be summoned to cope with the errors that some very shrewd heretics had concocted. Like what? Not the errors which claimed that a good God could not, just could not, be somehow mysteriously responsible for the ocean of error and evil that we see in the world today. So, what did the councils decide? First, they condemned those who claimed, goes back to the early church, who claimed there really are two principal deities, a good God, the author of everything good, and an evil deity, the author of everything evil. On those principles, then, the good God, so the claim was made, the good God is responsible for all the virtue in the world. The evil God is responsible for all the sin. Is that true? No. And a man as wise as Augustine himself was deceived. And the deception is widespread in the modern world. Where does the evil come from? Where does it come from? It does not come from God, who wants the evil. Where does it come from? It comes from human beings abusing their freedom, and instead of obeying God, resist the will of God. And thus, how this needs to be underlined. All the evil in the world is finally how this needs to be etched, and etched in bronze. All the evil in the world is due to created wills refusing to submit to the will of God. Tell me about 5 seconds to make that statement. Do you know what we're saying? And to believe it, believe me, is the beginning of the kind of conversion that I pray and beg God to give all of you the grace, all of you, all of us, me too, as the fruit of this retreat. All the evil in the world is due to created wills refusing to submit to the uncreated will of God.